All right. We are in Parshas Bo. So we've already, we ended at the end of Sefer Bereishis the last time that we met, and now we've already entered into the Pesach story. We're already deep into the Makos. This week's Parsha, we will finish up the remaining three Makos that we have left. This is like, to me, hit like Pesach. It's January, but you're holding in Pesach because of the parts of the parsha that we're going through. So what I want to study with you this morning, afternoon, we'll start with simply two verses. Today, of course, is Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh is in this week's parsha. So why not study the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, which comes up in this week's parsha, being that it is Rosh Chodesh, in honor of Rosh Chodesh. So we will be on page, it's the beginning of the 12th chapter, Perek Yud Beis. Not exactly in front of me yet. 348 and 349. So, background. Where are we in the story? So this little portion of the Torah is said to Moshe and Aaron following the warning that Paro was given for the 10th Makah. The 10th Makah, of course, is Makos Bechoros, the death of the firstborn. So that's where we're up to in the story. The parsha, last week's parsha, we read about the first seven Makos. We have the next eight and nine take place in the beginning of this week's parsha. And then Moshe, upon Hashem's speaking with him, says over to Paro, the last one, the biggest and the best, is yet to come. Firstborn are going to die. There will not be a home without screaming throughout the entire land of Mitzrayim if you do not let the people out. That doesn't yet happen, but he goes into Paro, he says over the prophecy, and Paro, he leaves. Paro does not listen. Hashem says to Moshe that Paro will not listen, and the point of that is, in order for my ability, says Hashem, to be able to increase my name, my wonders, that people will recognize me. And that's where, so we have a little break in the action, meaning as the warning for number 10 has come, the plague has not yet struck, and Moshe and Aaron are given the following command, which we'll see has two major components to the command. We'll for sure hopefully have a chance to study the first component. We'll see if we'll get to the second component. The first component of this command, which begins here, the beginning of the 12th chapter, is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, as you see your little heading on the bottom of 349. In the top half of the page, the bottom half of that. And then it continues on page 351 with the mitzvah of the Pesach offering. So that there's a little break in the action right before the 10th Makah, which we know, of course, afterwards the Jewish people are going to head out of the land of Mitzrayim. So they needed to do something before then. They had the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach. They had the mitzvah of preparing the sacrifice, the Paschal sacrifice that they were going to bring. They were going to put the blood on the doorposts, and that was going to be their action that they needed to do in order to leave Mitzrayim. So the command was given at this point before the actual 10th Makah hit. So we're actually on Rosh Chodesh Nisan is when this is taking place, on the first day of the month of Nisan. And this command is given out to Moshe and to Aaron that 10 days from now they need to take a lamb, prepare the lamb for 4 days, they'll slaughter it on the 14th of Nisan, and eventually they left on the 15th. But all of this is said on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and it's introduced with two verses regarding the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, of declaring the new moon every month to be Rosh Chodesh. That's where we are, just as a context, as a background for our story. Now, one more word of introduction. I usually give several words of introduction. One more word of introduction. This mitzvah, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, that this month should be for you, the beginning month, is actually quoted in the very first Rashi in Chumash, all the way back in Sefer Bereishis, in Parshas Bereishis. The very first Rashi in all of Chumash opens with this phrase. Anyone remember? What's Rashi? Rashi has a question.
Why did the Chumash start with the beginning creation when this was the first commandment?
Exactly. Rashi is bothered by this mitzvah is the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people as a whole. It's not the first mitzvah given. Avram Avinu was given the mitzvah of Bris Milah, and we have the prohibition after Yaakov and his fight with the angel of not eating the Gid Hanasha, not eating a certain sinew. There are certain mitzvahs that were given. Adam HaRishon was given the mitzvah of Pru Urvu, of having children. So there are certain mitzvahs that were given, But in mass, a mitzvah given to the Jewish people, this is the very first mitzvah. And Rashi therefore quotes from the sages the question of, well, why did not the Torah then start from here? The Torah is, after all, a book of law. It teaches us what we need to do, how we need to live, what's right, what's wrong. Start from the commandments. So Rashi asks the question, the very first Rashi in Chumash, why does the Torah start from Reish? Start from here. And Rashi's answer, which is not for today's discussion, is that it's all to teach us that the world belongs to God. He has the right to do with it that which He wanted. He created it. He can give us the land. He can take the land away from us. And all that we learn in terms of all the ethical lessons of Sefer Reish, not for our discussion right now. But it's worth noting, this is a starting point. Had it not been for the lessons that we needed to derive from Sefer Bereishis, this is where the Torah would have started. It would have started from Moshe and Aaron commanding the Jewish people in this mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. So it's worth just noting that it is sort of like a starting point. But with that, let us begin. Okay. Says Hashem. So Hashem says to Moshe, verse 1, Pasuk Aleph in Perek Yud Beis, the 12th chapter, Moshe, Hashem speaks to both Moshe and to Aharon, be Eretz Mitzrayim, Lemor, in the land of Egypt, excuse me, saying. So here, as we often have in the Chumash, an introductory verse to a commandment, there are two interesting phrases in this verse, which Rashi is bothered by and has what to say on. It seems like an innocuous, innocent little opening verse. Rashi has two comments on it. Number one, Rashi notes that this commandment was said to whom?
Moshe.
Moshe and Aharon. Most of the mitzvahs in the Torah, overwhelming majority, were said to only to Moshe. So Rashi here notes, isn't that interesting? The very first mitzvah, again, this starting point, this first communal mitzvah, the mitzvah given to the Jewish people as a whole, was not just said to Moshe. It was in fact said to both Moshe and to Aaron. Rashi comments why. It's in the first column, in the Aleph, Yom HaShem Moshe Aaron, from the following side. Says Rashi, a beautiful idea, Bishvil She'aharon Otha V'torach B'moysim K'moshe. Aharon also busied himself and toiled with the Makos, with all of the wonders and the signs and all that has taken place. If you remember from the very first Maka until now, how long has it been?
It's a year.
The sages say it took a full year. They break down. Each Maka lasted for this amount of time. Paro was warned for this amount of time, and then there was this amount of respite until the whole process started again. The sages worked out. It took almost an entire year. So says Rashi, Aharon has been a busy man during this year, just like Moshe has. Aharon, of course, was the first one who went to Paro. He's been the speaker. As the Torah explicitly states, when Moshe comes before Paro, Aharon is his mouthpiece. Aharon is the one throwing down the staff and turning it into a snake. And he's the one who brings about the first three makos, hitting the water and hitting the sand, as we all know, because Moshe didn't want to do that himself, because the water and the sand had protected him. The water by when he floated in the basket down the river, in the sand when he buried the Egyptian that he had killed. So Aaron's been involved. So Rashi says, since Aharon has been involved in this process of the Makos, Chalak lo kavod zeh, the mitzvah rishona. Therefore he was given his bestowed honor in this very first mitzvah. First in the Torah, always very significant. So in the first mitzvah that's given to the Jewish people, so Hashem saw it fitting that Aharon should be honored with that dibor, with that prophecy, that when Moshe received it, Aharon received it as well, and they both were the ones who then were able to receive that very first mitzvah. It's a nice follow-up from last week's parsha. There was a pasuk in last week's parsha, in which in the same pasuk, or two consecutive pasukim, it says, Hu Moshe v'Aharon. This was the same Moshe and Aharon who spoke before Paro. And then it said a verse later, Hu Aharon u Moshe. Putting Aharon, one time it puts Aharon before Moshe, one time it puts Moshe before Aharon. So Rashi comments, why does he do that? So Rashi says, to teach you that they are both equal. They're equivalents. Equals Moshe and Aharon. So sometimes the Torah lists Aharon before Moshe, and sometimes the Torah lists Moshe before sometimes Aharon first, sometimes Moshe first. So Moshe Feinstein asks a question. He says, what do you mean they were both equal? Everybody knows nobody will ever equal Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo kam be Yisrael How does that fit? Kim Moshe. Oh, Rabbi said, Yigdal, Kilkam the Yisrael, Kim Moshe. No one's ever going to be in the Jewish people like Moshe. Nobody ever communicated with God in the way, at will, that Moshe did. There was no prophet like Moshe. What do you mean they were equal? So Moshe Feinstein gives a beautiful answer. He says, because in Judaism, we don't measure greatness based on the level of spiritual rungs that you ascend. We measure greatness by the amount of your potential that you fulfilled. That's how we measure greatness. So that if your potential was on the scale, the spiritual scale of 0 to 100, we're all given different circumstances in life. We're all given different qualities and different traits and different shortcomings and different characteristics. If your potential, what God wanted for you, was to achieve whatever it is, a 76 in our spiritual scale, that's what He wanted, that was your mission, that's your job, and you got there, well then you're greater than the person who achieved an 83 but was supposed to have gotten to 90. Because he fell short. His circumstance. Everyone, you don't measure against each other. We can't measure against each other because, right, as the Mishnah in Perkei Avos says, you can't judge another person until you come into his place. And since you'll never come into his place, you'll never be born to his parents in his circumstances, with his siblings, with his spouse, with his job, with his kids, right, you'll never get there. So how can you judge him? And we don't measure, grade not against the other person, we measure grade as to how are you fulfilling what you need to be doing. So Moshe finds tonight, so Moshe and Aaron equals. Moshe was greater, meaning he had a higher level of prophecy, he had a higher level of spiritual awareness of the world, but the Torah can tell us that Aaron was just as great, because Aaron fulfilled his potential as well. And that's how we measure greatness, that's how we measure spiritual greatness. So, in a follow-up on that, so here Aaron is also given the same honor as Moshe. The first communal mitzvah given to the Jewish people is bestowed upon Aaron and Moshe together. Okay, that's the first comment. And then the Torah says it's in Eretz Mitzrayim. So, Rashi comments over here that it was in the land of Mitzrayim. Rashi simply comments that, but it wasn't in the city of Mitzrayim. It wasn't in the main city of the palace, because the main city of Egypt was so full of idol worship that Moshe was never able to receive prophecy there. He always received his prophecy outside the city and had to go into Paro to speak with him. So Rashi comments here also that that's why this first commandment was given outside the land, in the land of Mitzrayim. We're specifically told about that to teach you that lesson as well. The Ramban also comments on this, that this is one of the only mitzvahs given to the Jewish people, not on Har Sinai. This mitzvah, as a communal mitzvah, wasn't given on Har Sinai. It was given in the land of Mitzrayim. And the Torah wants to tell you that you should know this mitzvah was given in the land of Mitzrayim. All the other mitzvahs were given on Har Sinai. Okay, but to our main topic for this.
How about Noah?
Right, so the first communal mitzvah. Another individual mitzvahs were given before. Adam Harishon, Adam was given a mitzvah, and Avram was given a mitzvah, and Yaakov had to his sons. But a communal mitzvah given to the entirety of the Jewish people, this is the one that was given outside of Har Sinai in the land of Israel. Alright, to our main topic of discussion, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. So the Torah says, let's read the whole verse. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim. This month, HaChodesh Hazeh, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. This month shall be for you the beginning of months. Rishon hu lochem, it shall be the first of the months for the year. Rishon hu lochem lochadshei hashana. So on a simple level, what is this verse teaching us?
Calendar.
What about the calendar?
All the holidays
start with Nisan.
That they start with Nisan. In other words, when you count the months, which is the third month of the year? Which is the seventh month of the year? Which is the first month of the year? The verse is saying, which is the first month of the year?
Nisan.
Nisan, which is a month that we are exiting the land of Egypt from, this month that Moshe is being spoken to by Hashem, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, this month is the first of the months. This is how you will count the months of the year through this verse. That's the most simple meaning of the verse. Mm-hmm. The sages, however, saw in this another element. Now that really has nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh. The simple meaning of the verse only tells us, in counting the months of the year, which is the first month. That there's an issue, there's an idea that there's a first month and there's a last month, and you need to know which one is which. This verse says, the month of Nisan, that's the first of the month. That's the first month of the year. Now, the sages saw in here a mitzvah, another mitzvah, and that is this mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, that when you see the new moon, that you declare that to be a Rosh Chodesh. That's the first day of the month. And they saw that in the word Hazeh. HaChodesh Hazeh, this month. The Hazeh means this, shall be lochem, shall be for you. Rashi comments, it's on the top of the second column. HaChodesh Hazeh, Harehu Levana B'chidusha. What do you mean Hazeh, this month? So whenever you have that language of Zeh, it's almost like a pointing. We find that in Zeh Keli Vanveyu, in Az Yashir, we say, Zeh Keli, this is my God. The Jewish people, when the Yamsuf, when the sea split, and the Jewish people walked through, Zeh Keli, they were able to, well, you know, people have a custom to Zos HaTorah, when they do Galila. I don't know where it comes from, whether or not it's so necessary, but there's a concept, like when you say Zos HaTorah, there's like it's a connotation of, you know, this. So HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. So Rashi, Harehu Levana B'chidusha. Hashem showed him a new moon in its newness. As it begins, it's, you know, the moon, of course, you know, it goes, becomes full, and it waxes and waning of the moon. So as it begins in its smallest sliver, so Hashem showed Moshe the new moon. For Omar lo kisha hayareach mischadesh yiyye lecha rosh chodesh. When the new moon becomes, when you see the new moon like this, that shall be for you a Rosh Chodesh. Next Rashi in Hazeh, this. So Rashi says, Niskashe Moshe al Moilet HaLevona. And Moshe had difficulty with this. Moshe wasn't sure. He couldn't get it clearly where exactly, when exactly you determine it to be the new moon. Ve'eza Shir Tira. When can you see it? How big does it have to be? V'tiyeh ruyeh l'kadesh, when it's sufficient to say, now we can declare it to be the new moon. So Rashi says, Herelo be'etzpas halavanas, he pointed with his finger to the new moon, and said, Kazeh re'eh v'kidesh. When you see it like this, that's the new moon. So within this verse, which declares that Nisan to be the first of the month, the sages saw the mitzvah of, look, when you see the new moon like this, be mekadesh it, sanctify it, and declare it to be a new month, and that's the new moon of the new month, and here we have our system of the calendar. Now it's worth noting, before we get into some of the details of this verse, the whole concept of our calendar is a fascinating study, because if we have a lunar calendar like we do, like this verse declares for us to have, this is the first month of the year, and this is how you determine the new month. So the calendar, the lunar calendar, only has 29 and a half days in it. Each lunar cycle from new moon to new moon is 29 and a half days, which is why we have some months are 29 days long and some days are 30 days long, because over every two-month period, you'll have exactly 59 days, which is exactly the amount of how many days you'll have in every lunar cycle, since each one is 29 and a half days. So it works itself out. One is 29, one is 30, and you have your full amount of days. The lunar cycle has a total of only 354 days in it. So that if we were to only work with our lunar cycle, we would end up, every year, would start itself over 11 days earlier than on the solar system of the year before. So that if Pesach this year were to fall out on, or let's take Rosh Hashanah this past year was on September 13th, the night of September 13th. So if we were to go only with a lunar calendar, so then the following year, Rosh Hashanah would be September the 2nd. And the year before that, Rosh Hashanah would fall out August 20-something. August 22nd, 23rd, whatever it would be, depending on how many days of August there are. And getting 11 days earlier and earlier and earlier. Which is what you have, similarly, the Islam has a lunar calendar, and therefore their holidays always, they come out throughout the entire year. Every year is 11 days earlier. Over the course of 10 years, it'll go throughout the whole, sometimes it's in, because it always can move, every year is 11 days earlier than it was the year before. So the problem that we have with that is that the Torah says Pesach has to be in the Chodesh Aviv, in the springtime. But, which creates an obvious problem, since Pesach is going to get earlier and earlier and earlier. That's why we have the concept of a leap year, a lunar leap year. We add in a lunar month, which pushes it back 30 days, which is what we have this year. So that Pesach this year will be what we like to call late. When we say Pesach is earlier, Pesach is late, Rosh Hashanah is early. What we're doing is we're comparing it to the solar calendar, because the lunar calendar moves 11 days every year. So some years it's what we would consider late in the solar system, solar calendar. And then it's normal, and then it's early. And then we add a calendar, and it becomes, and we add a month, and then it becomes, it's pushed back 30 days, it's late again. and then it's right where it should be, and then it's early, and then we add a month, and so on, and so forth. That's the basic system as we have with our lunar calendar, because we combine both the lunar and solar systems in working all of that out. Okay, but that's the idea you have here. Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, Hashem shows Moshe Rabbeinu what the new moon will look like, and that declares Rosh Chodesh. Now, the way that it used to work, we all know that if you want to know when Rosh Chodesh is, what do?
You open a calendar,
right? Didn't used to be that way. Didn't used to be that way. How did it used to work? So it used to work, they would go outside. It used to work that Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, this is the new month for you, and you are in charge of declaring Rosh Chodesh. And the way that it used to work is that Beis Din would sit and wait for witnesses to come and declare that they had seen the new moon. Wherever it was in the country that they had seen it, they would then travel to Yerushalayim and testify in front of the Beis Din and say, we have seen the new moon. And Beis Din would then declare it to be Rosh Chodesh. So that, again, every given month could be either 29 or 30 days. So on day 29, everybody knew this was the final day of the month that we were in. But starting tonight already might be Rosh Chodesh. So everybody would wait, not sure what it was, and they would wait that night. They'd wait the whole next day to see if anybody showed up. If anybody showed up, say, at 3 o'clock, and they said, last night I was in, wherever I was in Beersheba, and we saw the new moon. They would say, excellent. There was a whole system that they would question them and make sure that what they saw was, in fact, the new moon. And then they would say, today was Rosh Chodesh. It was already Rosh Chodesh retroactively starting last night. And then tomorrow will be the second day of the new month. And then they would send out messengers throughout the entire land to let people know that this was the day of Rosh Chodesh, that everybody should know to mark their calendars when the holidays, when the yard sites, when everything would be, because now we know which is the right day of the month. If nobody showed up all day, so that the whole 30th day nobody came, so then that became the 30th day of the month. And then the next day automatically became Rosh Chodesh, and then people would know that they should set their calendars accordingly. When that system fell apart at the end of the Second Temple's period, because either the persecutions and the Talmid Chachamim weren't sufficient to be able to keep the system going, the sage Hillel set up the calendar based on when the new month should be, and put into motion that which we have today, which is a permanent calendar, in which we no longer depend on witnesses coming, which wouldn't work anymore because we don't have a Beis Din in Yerushalayim. We don't have anybody with the authority to declare Rosh Chodesh. So he put into place, with his authority that he had, the calendar and set it for, I'm curious when Mashiach comes, if we'll ever revert back to the old system or if we'll keep that, I don't know. But for the time being, we now have a calendar. You could plug in the numbers as he set them up. And it's one of the wonders of the world that he was able to do so. If you think about the genius in setting up a calendar, putting something in place. What's that?
Without a computer. Please.
Without a computer that would work. It's been without a flaw. For so many hundreds of years from that point of time, is really just a testimony of absolute genius to be able to do so. And that's the calendar that we work with until today, that sets the days of the holidays, of Rosh Hashanah and of each Rosh Chodesh. And that's what we're working on, even though the initial system was such in which we would rely on witnesses coming to testify that they saw it. Nonetheless, the system that we have is our set calendar. Now, many of you should be bothered by a question as we move along. And the question is, we just declared that Nisan is the first of the month. In other words, there are two elements to this verse. The first element of the verse was, declare Rosh Chodesh. When you see the new moon, declare that to be Rosh Chodesh, and that starts a new month. The other element, which is the more simple reading of the verse, is, this month should be for you the first of the months. So what question should you all have? What about Rosh Hashanah? What happens in Rosh Hashanah? That's when we have the new year. Rosh Hashanah is when we turn over from 5768 until 5769. That's going to happen on Rosh Hashanah. That doesn't happen in Nisan.
Right. Yeah.
Right? And so we have a very funny system in place. The system in place says the new year actually begins in the seventh month of the calendar, is when we will turn from 5768 to 5769. Rosh Hashanah, seventh month of the year, Tishrei. And yet our counting of months is going to go based on Nisan. Now, if that's not confusing, I mean, that's the system that we have. Why is that? So here you have to hear a Ramban, beautiful Ramban. Nachmanides was bothered by this, and he comments as follows. Says Ramban, the reason why we count the months starting from Nisan, the Nisan is the first, and then the next month is going to be the second, and the third, and the fourth. You'll notice in the Torah, by the way, there are no names of the month. The Torah only counts or refers to a month by its number. Mm-hmm. In the first month of the second year, in the third month of the first year, in the seventh month, make this holiday, in the tenth month. Everything is only by the number of months in the Torah. Says the Ramban, why is all of this? Says the Ramban, Kedei Sheyiyeh Zezikaron B'Neis HaGadol. This will always serve as a reminder of the great miracle and miraculous events of the Exodus from Mitzrayim. Ki b'chol eis shenazkir hachadoshim. Every time you mention a month and you say the first month, you say the third month. From what? What are you counting? Yehanesnin, you'll recall the miracle. And therefore, says the Ramban, none of the months in the Torah have names. Because each time the Torah refers to a month and you say it's the seventh month. Well, the seventh means I'm counting back from the first. What happened in the first? First was Nisan. Nisan makes me think of Pesach. Pesach makes me think of the Seder. The Seder makes me think of Hashem. Because that's the miracle, the whole event of what took place in the Pesach. What we're recalling, the whole series of events, all goes back to that. And therefore he says, the Ramban, that's why we count this as the first. So even though the year turns in the seventh month, because that's when the world was created. So the world was created in Tishrei. And therefore, it's every year Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah time. As we go through that, we say, oh, now it's 5768, now it's 5769. But we'll refer to the months on a different system. We'll refer to the months on the system of first, second, and third, starting in Nisan, as a remembrance to the miracle and miraculous events which took place. And what is it similar to? It's very similar to a concept which you do every day. Yeah. So if you ever make it to the end of the Siddur on your daily davening, you make it all the way to the end. What happens at the end after Aleinu? We say, right? What do we say? We have a special chapter of the Psalms for each particular day of the week. And we introduce that with a phrase in which we say, Hayom Yom Rishon L'Shabbos. Today is Yom Sheni L'Shabbos. Yom Shlishi L'Shabbos. Why aren't their names Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday like there are in other cultures for the days of the week? We don't, like, Torah came up with all sorts of interesting things, right? Couldn't name the days of the week. We couldn't do better, like the sages over all of our years of history, all of the genius. We could figure out a calendar for 2,000 years without a computer and we couldn't come up with names of the week? The answer is no, we can't. Why not? Because we're always thinking about Shabbos. It's the first day of the week from Shabbos. It's the second day of the week from Shabbos. It's the third day of the week from Shabbos. And we're leading up to Shabbos. Always. And that's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Zochores Yom HaShabbos L'Kodesh. Remember always Shabbos in its holiness. How do we remember Shabbos always? We refer to the days of the week in reference to Shabbos. And because it's a reference to Shabbos, so we, in our Golos, in our exile, refer to the days of the week by Greek gods and other sorts of things which are totally foreign to our culture. But it's just become part of the system. But in reality, as Jews, the days of the week are all in the context of when is Shabbos? How long ago was Shabbos? When is the next Shabbos? And it's all a fulfillment of the mitzvah of remembering and recalling always Shabbos. Part of that. The Ramban references that and says the same idea, Kimo Shetia Hazachir B'Yoyim HaShabbos, just like when we count the days of the week, we are remembering always Shabbos. Every time we reference a month, we will therefore also be referencing this miracle, this event, the Exodus from Egypt, and say, oh, the seventh month. Oh, seventh month, we're only 6 months away from Pesach, or we're 7 months from Pesach. Pesach is important because Pesach is the day that we left Mitzrayim. Pesach is the time where Hashem revealed Himself to us. Very nice. Says the Ramban, but now you ask me another question. We say, but wait a minute. Anybody remember the Purim story? Purim story has a couple of months listed in it. Adar is the most famous, right? Because he pilpur hua goral, that Haman made a lottery of sorts, and the name Adar is right there in the Megillah. Right? You find in some of the other prophets also. And certainly in Judaism, all of you knew that the name of the month that I was referring to was Nisan. Where did that name come from? Why is that part of our culture where it's a Hebrew? We, in the literature, in rabbinic writing, in the Talmud, is replete with references to the month, and it always refers to the month in the Talmud, always, by its name, not by its number. Why is that? Then we have this beautiful idea right here in the Chumash that the Ramban says the reason this is the first of the month, because you need to always refer to the miracle event which took place in Pesach. Says the Ramban, Shemos Chadoshim Olo Imanu Mibavel. These names are Babylonian names. They came with us when we returned after the first exile, when the first temple was destroyed and the Jews went to Babylonia, and they returned following the Purim story. We came with these Babylonian names. These were the names of the month in Babel. V'hasibolozes. How did it stick? Why did it become part of our culture, even in the prophets, that we refer to the months by these Babylonian names? Initially, our counting of the month was always going to be a reference to the miraculous events of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the leaving of Egypt. When we came up from Bavel, we returned, the first Jewish return to the land of Israel following the first exile. We fulfilled a certain prophecy. Because the prophet Yirmiyahu says, Lo yoimar o, you will not say following the first redemption, says Yirmiyahu Anavi. You will not say, Chai Hashem Asher He'elez B'nei Yisrael Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. You will no longer refer to Hashem as the one who took us out of Mitzrayim. Ki im Chai Hashem, but you will say, you will refer to Hashem Asher He'elez V'asher He'vies B'nei Yisrael Mi'eretz Tzafon. You'll refer to the God who has returned the Jewish people from the northern lands. Says the Ramban, so when we fulfilled that prophecy, that we will no longer refer to Hashem as the one who took us out of Mitzrayim, but the one who brought us back from the foreign lands, we therefore referred to the months of the year from those lands from which we came. Because now our primary goal was not to always recall the miraculous events of Mitzrayim. Certainly we have that mitzvah Pesach time, that's a mitzvah in the Torah. But we now have a new prophecy from Yirmiyahu, from Jeremiah the prophet, that you'll refer to Hashem as the one who took us out of the northern lands. And we therefore use the months of the names of the months that we brought with us from those lands that he brought us back to. Therefore, Chazarnu l'kroa chadoshim, with the names we returned to, we started calling the names of the months based on the months that we refer to them in those lands. And that's as we have it today. That's what the Ramban comments. So that in the Torah itself, you only find numbers and never names. Because in the Torah, all the numbers, all the names of the months are referred to after. So we left Mitzrayim, Hashem gives us the Torah, then he tells us all the laws. And we need to know when are these laws kept. Whenever the Torah refers to a point in time, it always refers to it as a number. 6 month, 8th month, 10th month, 1st month. Because in the Torah, until they returned from exile, they always used the numbering system. And that was a recollection of the miraculous events which took place in Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Talmud already coming after the return of the Jewish people, during the times of the prophets already, after the story of Purim, to rebuild the second temple. In the Talmud already, we already have the practice of referring to the months based on the Babylonian names which the Jews brought with them as they returned, a reference to the prophets, the prophecy of Yirmiyahu, that we will no longer refer to Hashem as the one who brought us out of Mitzrayim, but the one who took us back from the land that we were scattered into the land of Eretz Yisrael.
Does that have anything to do with why we go with the divisions that the Romans or whoever it was divided the Torah?
Oh, no, yeah, no, that's, yeah, that was out of convenience, just because the printers did that. I don't think that's related.
Okay. Can we infer that at least half the world uses the Roman calendar, which is the one that we use in the United States, that since now we're coming back from in a certain way, since we have modern-day Israel, and half the world, except for the Chinese and the Hindus, we use the Roman calendar, but maybe we're speaking about it commonly because we're in the end of the Roman exile, as at the end of the Babylonian exile, the Talmud uses all the Babylonian.
Well, that would only be fair if we were back in Israel. Mm-hmm. In other words, if we'd all been brought back, and then it would be a reference, you know, to that. But right now, it's not because we're still in the exile. So, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. And being that the names that are so common to us, Nisan and Tishrei, I don't know whether or not when the final redemption comes, being that the Ramban says those names have stuck with the Jewish people as a fulfillment of the prophecy of Yirmiyahu, that Hashem who took us back, and that's a remnant of that. Those are Babylonian names. It's a discussion to me, at least, that when the final redemption will come, there might be a third system for naming the months. I don't know what will be. Will we go back to the way that we refer to it following Mitzrayim, which is a reference to the Nes of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Will we stick with the Babylonian names, which have become part of Jewish? Can you imagine calling Pesach the month of Nisan something other than Nisan? It's been 2,000 years. That's how the Jewish people have referred to the month of Nisan. The first month of the year, not Tishrei, the first month of the way that we count, is Nisan. Rosh Hashanah is in the month of Tishrei. It's feasible. I don't know. It could be that there's an answer. I just don't know it. It could be there's no answer yet. We'll wait and see. It's feasible when the coming Mashiach, with the coming of Mashiach, that we will no longer use these names, which are Babylonian names, and were a reference to the first return, that maybe we'll have a different system, which will be a reference to the second return. Will it be these Greek Roman names? I don't know. I imagine not, because the Greek Roman names that we're using are references to the solar months, not the lunar months. So it doesn't even fit. And the Babylonians use the lunar calendar, so at least it fit. We don't even have a system in place now. You know, January doesn't. There's no month in the Hebrew calendar that January corresponds to. It's in between months. It's a different system. So I don't know what it's going to be. Maybe we'll just stick with ones we have. I don't know. Yeah.
Even Moshe, his name is not it's not a Hebrew name.
Right, Moshe was named by Bas Paro. Yeah.
Why he never changed his name? He's supposed to have a Hebrew name.
Yeah, he has 10 Hebrew names. The Medrash says. For those who are interested, this was that question is the topic that I spoke about on my trial Shabbos here at Beth Jacob to get this position that I am currently in, which was, for those keeping track, exactly 11 months away. It was Parsha Shmos.
Yeah.
It was January like 6th or 7th. Parsha Shmos was exactly a year ago. That was my tryout Shabbos, and that was the topic of my sermon. Why we still call Moshe by his Egyptian name and not by any of the Hebrew names which were given to him by Hashem, by his father, by his mother. Like, those would seem to be, for a people that put so much emphasis on a Hebrew name, and the name that was given to you, why do we continue to call Moshe by his Egyptian name? But that's not for today's discussion. But anyone who was there and doesn't remember it, I'd like to speak with you afterwards.
That seems to differ from Zafin of Paneah, the Yosef's name. We should be calling him by the part of the
name. Well, it depends on why he was named. It depends on the answer to the question. In other words, the answer to the question of why Moshe is called by his Hebrew name will determine if it would fit for Yosef, and clearly it didn't. Okay, let me give you one final thought. So this verse, which teaches us this mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, concludes, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. It's your month. So that word is technically extraneous. It could have just said, this month is the new month of the year. You don't have to say it's your new month of the year. Why do we describe it as your new month of the year? So a number of issues, number of Rashi quotes, or the Gemara, I should say, really says, the Gemara says that it's because it's up to Beis Din to determine it. In other words, it's not a mitzvah given to the entirety of the Jewish people as individuals. Some mitzvahs are given to the entirety of the Jewish people. Like, the whole Jewish people keep Shabbos. Individually, we all need to keep Shabbos, but it's not said to this mitzvah is lochem to you, Moshe and Aaron, representing this tribunal of leaders. Beis Din declares Rosh Chodesh. That's why we have a calendar today that was set by Hillel, because when there was no longer going to be a Beis Din, if Beis Din were ever to be dismantled and Hillel would not have established a calendar, Jewish life would cease. because we would have no way of establishing the calendar. We would not be able to keep any of the holidays, and there's nothing we can do about it. We'd be stuck, because only a Beis Din can declare Rosh Chodesh. And when there is no Beis Din, we'd be stuck. So Hillel said, that's a problem. I'm going to go ahead and establish a calendar. And that's all derived from that word of Lochem. This is your new month. You determine the month. So much so, you know, there's a fascinating passage in the Talmud. The Talmud says, so much so did God give the authority to the Jewish people to establish a new month. He gave it to them even when they're wrong and they make a mistake. And if Beis Din were to make a mistake and declare the wrong day Rosh Chodesh, and it's clear based on every single calculation that it's the wrong day, and we actually could figure out that later other witnesses came, but they already came too late, and they determined that it's the wrong day, we still would never change it. When Beis Din declares a day to be Rosh Chodesh, they are granted the authority to declare it to be Rosh Chodesh. Even when they make a mistake, even they do it on purpose, no matter what they do, they have that authority. So the sages have a couple of beautiful phrases in which they describe Hashem sort of up in heaven waiting to see when will Rosh Hashanah be this year? When will Yom Kippur be this year? When is Pesach going to be? Because it's up to them, it's not up to me. The fact that I put the stars and moon in motion, that I know based on a calculation it should be on this day, doesn't really mean anything because Beis Din has the authority to adjust it. So obviously it's only a certain amount they can adjust it, but it's up to them. And so the sages have a language in which they sort of see these most holy special days of the whole year, and yet Hashem, it's like Hashem's opening up, when's Pesach this year? So we flip the calendar to see. It's as if Hashem says, well, what are my children going to say? When should I sit in judgment this year? When are they going to determine Rosh Hashanah? When are they going to determine Yom Kippur? When are they going to determine Pesach? And it's up to us to determine that. So the sages say that's the power that was given over to the Jewish people. I'm going to veer off topic for 1 second before I get to the final thought that I wanted to get to. When the angels try to stop Moshe from getting the Torah, Moshe goes up to Shemayim to get the Torah, and you of course know the famous discussion in the sages that the angels wanted to stop him. They said, no, keep the Torah up here. Moshe says, what do you need the Torah for? You don't have parents. You don't keep Shabbos up here. What do you need? It's up. There's a deep discussion there, which is not for today, but when you just think about the angels wanting to keep the Torah in heaven, what do they want it for? There's a power in it. The authority, the ownership of the Torah was given over to the Jewish people. We determine when Rosh Hashanah is. We determine when Yom Kippur is. These are powerful spiritual days. There's a reality of the day that's significant. And Hashem, so to speak, is dependent on us to figure that out, when it should be. There are numerous examples of things that Beis Din has the authority over, and Hashem abides by. The principle, Lo Bashamayim, it's not up in heaven. It's what's determined down here by the rabbis, by the Beis Din. That's the ruling that we will go with. And there's an authority, there's an ownership of that. And the angel said, don't give that down to them. You're going to give the ownership of the Torah, the responsibility of determining these things to them, born of woman, flesh and blood, human beings, all their frailties. And Hashem says, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And that's a tremendous ownership, a tremendous powerful position that the Jewish people occupy in partnering, so to speak, with God and His system of creation in the world here. Then, yeah, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. It's your months. You determine it, and I will abide by the rules and regulations that you said. I mean, Hashem sets the rules and regulations, and we abide by the rulings of human beings, of the Beis Din, as they set it into motion. But the final thought that I want to share on that word, Lachem, comes from the Sfarna. The Sfarna says, you know what this word, Lachem, is saying? It's to you. And Hashem is giving the Jewish people a tremendous lesson, because right now we're coming out of the servitude of Egypt. And the Sforno writes, Lochem, these months are now yours. Because until now, time was not yours. Until now, your time was your taskmaster. Until now, time was held by the person, the Egyptian, who said to you what he wanted you to do and when. And now, I'm taking you out. So on this mitzvah, which is said to the Jews while they're still in Egypt, while they're still slaves because the 10th Makkah has not yet hit, and they have not yet left, Hashem says, you should know, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, this month that we're in now, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, this is the beginning of a new stage of your existence, a new reality, in which time is yours. And you are hereby responsible for your time. You are hereby accountable for your time, because it's Lachem. It's yours. It's your month, your days, your hours, your time, to do with it what you feel you better do with it, because no longer can you say, I was a slave. I had to do what I had to do because he told me what to do, otherwise he'd kill me. Not any longer. It's your time. The Chodesh Hazel Lachem says this for you. And this commandment, this began that process of Jewish freedom of time, which Hashem says to us, your time is now yours. Make the most of it. Make every day count, every minute, every hour, because every hour that goes by, that's the last time you'll ever have that hour again. And you're hereby responsible and accountable for them. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. This is your time, your month, and make the most of it. And with that thought, I leave you to make the most of the rest of your day and week. Have a fantastic day.